Is it Godzilla Kong or Godzilla X Kong?
I guess it hasn't come out yet, but I asked the director, and the director, Adam Wingard, said the official out loud pronunciation is Godzilla Kong, the New Empire. They didn't do a voiceover trailer that ended with Godzilla Kong, the New Empire.
Oh, that's true. Right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I also, what was that, Jordan?
That's my trailer voice. Godzilla Kong, Rise of an Empire.
That's really bad.
Thank you. In a world.
Welcome back to The Break Room. Godzilla Kong, the New Empire has left out of Hollow Earth and into theaters.
Ooh.
But how do we feel about it?
Oh.
It's The Break Room Movie Review. Hit the graphic.
Hit it, baby.
There was no graphic.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I forgot to tell Dashiell. That'll come back
Whoa!
That graphic was definitely there.
I'm Evan, and joining me today, we have Jordan Morris.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
We have Brandon Barrick.
Oof. That's my Kong impression.
And Hector Navarro.
Hi. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
It was just oof.
Yeah, he does a lot of oof.
Yeah. That's true. Right. He does a lot of owie, my teeth hurt.
Yeah, yeah. After the movie, when I was like home brushing my teeth, I was like oof. Oof.
Dude, nothing's going to make you want to go to a dentist less than having to crawl out of Hollow Earth to find your dentist.
Right?
That's such, you're never gonna get your teeth checked out.
I mean, that service, they had that tooth in, bada boom.
Yeah. How does he know how to do that?
It's been years.
How does he know how to do what?
It's not the first tooth they
Kong replaced. Or the doctor? Trapper.
Both, I don't Trapper. Know. Trapper,
there should have been a scene where, like, Trapper, he like brings in the tooth and then goes back up and then brings down a giant lollipop for him.
Oh, that'd have been good.
Because he was so good. He was so good for his dental.
Like a giant head of a titan on a stick or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, if you don't know what we're referencing or not referencing, we're definitely going to spoil the movie. So stick around if you want spoilers. If not, come back and watch us later. As we do on every Break Movie Review, we'll grade the movie in parts from 1 to 5. Half points are okay. And our off-screen team will be doing the math to get us the total number. We'll be grading the script, the story and writing, the acting, the visuals, the directing, and the sound and score. Always the most climactic category to end the review. So let's talk about the script and the story for a second, or first, rather. Written by Terry Rossio, Simon Barrett, and Jeremy Slater. Rossio did the 1998 Godzilla and Pirates of the Caribbean movies. He has a lot of credits, a lot of animated credits. Very interesting. He did Shrek. Barrett is a frequent collaborator with director
Adam Wingard.
That's why
there's so much Smash Mouth in this movie.
Exactly, yeah.
Constant Smash Mouth.
It was kind of like a Shrek kind of beginning for Kong there.
Yes. He gets up, scratches his ass.
Yeah.
Or was that Godzilla? No, that was Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, yeah.
He like takes a shower.
Oh, that's right.
Somebody
told me that Swamp Kong was gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest monster in Earth.
It almost works. Jeremy Slater was the head writer of Moon Knight. So how did everyone feel about the kind of script and story for Godzilla Kong, the New Empire? Anyone want to start?
Well, I will say, having watched the Monarch series, which was on Apple TV Plus, which was 9 episodes, 10 episodes, it was long, and it kind of, it seemed like the point of that show was to fill in some holes between before Godzilla 2014, between Godzilla 2014 and Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Between every movie.
Explain how the Hollow Earth worked. They kind of got into the portals there. They kind of explained how it's like a dimension and not so much just like physically inside. Very helpful. And then this movie did not take any of those notes. I felt like Shackman did a lot of work world building that. And then this was like, don't worry about that. The portals
just
are still there.
Just know it's there. Yeah.
Because like when they went through the portals in this one, it was like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yes.
They were vibrating. Like, that was a very long sequence.
You guys were saying there was, like, more Hollow Earth than before? Is that what we kind of walked away with?
That's what I felt like. Yeah. So, in the movie, Kong discovers that there are more of him, kind of accidentally, by setting up a trap to open up a, like, subterranean layer.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The big old cave system thing.
Exactly.
That's where the bad guy lives.
They put up a graphic subterranean Hollow Earth.
Yeah. And then separately,
but it still had a sky and two sides.
Yes, there was exactly.
And light.
And then separately, there was the Iwe people that Rebecca Hall and her team found that were not in that.
They're not
area.
In the subterranean. They're in the regular Hollow Earth,
but hidden away,
hidden by a camouflage
set up
by Mothra. Set up by Mothra.
I will say that with even the past few weeks and months this year in anticipation for this movie, the fact that Godzilla Minus One came out last year, the fact that last year, as a little side note, my girlfriend who's a voice actor, she was in a Gamera show that they put on Netflix. So because of that, she was like, I've never seen Gamera movies. We watched all the Gamera movies last year. Super fun.
They're a blast.
He
loves children. Gamera loves children.
He's a defender of children. So when we were done with that, we looked at each other and we're like, we've never seen every Godzilla movie. So for the past couple months, we've been going through, including all the Kong stuff, including like, before Mothra enters the Godzilla franchise, she had her own movie, Rodan. And had his own movie, so we're like trying to hit all this stuff. We're rewatching the MonsterVerse stuff. We watched Monarch. We watched Godzilla Minus One last year. All of that with the MonsterVerse franchise. I'm right now at a place where I have a greater appreciation for all of it, but I still don't love it to the same level that I love like other big Hollywood franchises. The Monarch show, good example. I didn't like the show, and even with all the world building, I felt like it's still inconsistent.
Right.
But then watching this movie at the end of the day, that kind of stuff, those details are not super important. It's not stuff that is blatantly contradicting itself.
Yeah.
At least. So in that regard, I appreciate that. For this movie, for this story, for this script, I'm probably going to give it a 2 out of 5. I feel like it's fine that, and they know what to, which human actors to bring back. Brian Tyree Henry from the last film was really great, right? Like really, really good. The Rebecca Hall, who has the Iwe daughter, adoptive daughter. Interesting. There's some emotion there. There's some stuff there.
I thought that relationship was very sweet.
For sure. Absolutely.
That stuff worked out.
So if you're going to spend time with human characters, like, all that stuff is not the worst. It's maybe not the most compelling. I definitely had more fun watching Kong just be in the world and be silent and do, you know, those sequences and everything. So, like,
I think there's a, like, brave sequel to this movie with no humans. Silent. The Kong and Little Kong scenes were all a ton of fun.
Yes.
And they, you know, communicate through grunts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those were all a blast.
So, in terms of, like, the story, the villain, the you know, the Scar King was cool. I liked some of that stuff, but they're still, I don't know. I think that my issues with the movie are not just on the script, but I definitely think it could have been elevated to something where I think it was fantastic. My bar is always still Kong Skull Island. The first Kong movie in this franchise, I think, is kind of an amazing movie. Really underrated, I think, is super successful at everything it sets out to do. The human stuff, the kaiju stuff, the world building, the lore, the mythology, the fun, everything. So that's where I'm at with this one.
We rewatched all these Jessica Clemens and some breakdowns on the New Rockstars channel. It really brought back my love for Godzilla 2014.
Interesting.
Which is like really dark and very focused on if you are these people and you're around this, how do you survive? Yeah. And seeing the destruction, and like most of it is from like a people perspective where you're looking up a lot and like you don't get to see a lot.
Yes.
This is bright and colorful and we see a lot of fights, but like that was like more fun and scary because at no point in this one am I worried for any of our main humans, right? They're never like even near the fight, it felt like.
Or the thousands of people that are dying in this
Right, right.
I know. Like
watching Rome get wiped out, it's like, this is pretty brutal. Like,
some and then he goes to sleep in the Colosseum. It made that cute.
That was
probably
very
killed
cute.
A lot of people when he went down.
That was very cute. But a lot of these people on the beach are dead, you know.
It's interesting that was the Gareth Edwards one is the one that you really...
I mean, it's great. Like, That Halo jump, when
it's
they're
dope.
Jumping through the clouds and the red and the Godzilla's there, like, it's intense. And, like, I mean, Bryan Cranston's going hard in that movie.
Dude, I know. But then they kill him off, and they shouldn't have done that.
I know. He would have been great to stick around, but...
You're not wrong.
But it is fun to see a world where you start from there, how does the world react? And this is what happens in, you know, the Japanese Godzilla movies, too, right? They build these big forces, and they work with Godzilla.
They get very cartoony.
They have machines that work with them. And that's fun, too. But it just felt like I really liked Godzilla versus Kong. I don't think any fight in this lived up to the battleship sequence in Godzilla versus Kong. That was so fun and great. Yeah. This was just like, you know, it felt like it was really speeding through it, the Titan stuff, and then the human stuff was like taking a little longer than I needed it to.
And I wonder if the speeding through it was like a factor of the marketing of this movie being like, okay, we know there's like Scar King and we know that there's going to be a greater evil around. And so we're waiting for that as opposed to Godzilla versus Kong where we're just seeing, it's like, we know that this movie is going to be about them fighting each other.
Yeah.
We get a series of these, but then it builds into the Mechagodzilla fight, which becomes like, oh, and this is like the real villain all
which was
along.
Not in the trailer. Yes. It was right. like yeah, not yeah. revealed.
That's still one of the most fun reveals yeah. in yeah. like recent movies. The fact that they held that back from the trailer was so
right.
awesome.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, as a I was a huge Godzilla kid, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but like them revealing that secret character was so much fun. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of that in this one too.
Yes, yeah. there is. So but you might be right, Evan, in the terms of like the last film, the event was these two guys are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With this one, it's like, what is it? Is it the event that they're collaborating against?
Yeah,
the
they're writing each other now. They're writing. They can write each other. This has a lot of kaiju writing each other, and I love. I'm here for it. I'm here for kaiju writing. That's true. Other
I didn't appreciate Kong writing Shimu back to Hall.
Yeah, that was
I was
weird.
Like, I thought we're all equals now. I thought everyone's.
Yeah, I have freed you from your captivity. Let me ride you.
Let this little guy out here.
Now I have the pain pointer.
Did you guys think it was weird that Godzilla and Shimu didn't fight after the big battle and after they were able to freeze Scar
Evan,
and King?
Let me stop you right there. You're overthinking it. That's too smart of a question.
Right.
Are you asking
because Godzilla's trying to defend the Earth?
If you try and make this movie make sense, you will have a stroke.
Yes. is it Godzilla like an alpha titan? And wouldn't Shimu be an alpha titan? And once stop. Movie's over.
I've now thought more about it than anyone who made the movie thought about it.
Ask yourself the question, would a 7-year-old ask themselves this question? Mm. You know, and that's not an insult because this movie is intended for that audience. Mm-hmm. And I think that in a lot of ways it succeeds in that. I don't have a kid. I don't know if I would know a kid that would be stoked to go see it. But I know that kids liked Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah.
They're Godzilla fans as a whole, the whole franchise and everything. So
yeah, I will say that I was sitting next to a dad and I think son, and his son was like very excitedly pointing out things as the movie was going. Mm-hmm. It definitely enhanced the experience for me to be like, oh yeah, if I wasn't gonna think about the script.
You're sitting there like this, like how is okay. But now where's Monarch? And this kid's just like, yeah. That's right. That's,
I do appreciate having rewatched a lot of the MonsterVerse ones too. This one, there's no fight in at night or in the rain.
Yeah.
That is like the gimmick for Godzilla and King of the Monsters, where it's like that Ghidorah fight at the end is great and cool, but it is so dark.
Sure.
Yes. There's so much rain. Yes. Just hiding the CG, which is fine.
This does feel like
this 70s. Doesn't do that, and I think it hurts it a little bit. Like it starts right with Kong and like I don't think he looks great. Like, I don't think the CG really nails it at the first sequence where you really need it to.
Hold on to that, Brandon, because we're going to talk about
the script. Run the script.
Your thoughts.
Script, so, okay. Maybe I was thinking a little too much, but...
and that's your fault,
and that's
Evan.
And that is mine.
You were wrong to think about it.
I'm going to stop thinking. I'm going to give it a 2.5. I think I did like it more than I thought I was going to like it on the whole. And we'll get into some more thoughts about like the monsters and stuff later.
Okay.
But 2.5 for me.
Brandon, did you rate it yet?
No.
I gave it 2.
I'll go. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. I'll be this movie's fan in this discussion. Because I really had a fun time.
Good.
You know, and hard not to compare it to Godzilla Minus One.
Right. So hard.
Which is, Godzilla Kong, not a brilliant movie. Godzilla Minus One is. And I think even if you don't love kaiju movies, see Godzilla Minus One, see it. Yeah. It's great.
There's definitely a lot there.
As a kid who watched all these movies growing up, we would get them from... our Kmart had a $5 VHS bin, which would be full of Godzilla movies. Mm-hmm. And if I was good in Kmart, I would get a little Godzilla to take home with me. And so, you know, it's funny. There's been so many of these movies, and it started out kind of like Godzilla Minus One, a kind of darker, kind of serious movie about the horrors of war.
Yeah.
But then, you know, as Godzilla kept getting sequelized, they got crazy and they got kind of silly. And as a kid, I loved both of them. I loved the serious ones and I also loved the silly ones. And I like that we're in a world where we can have the satirical, you know, maybe not satirical is kind of the wrong word, but the commentary-filled, you know, look at the darkness inside humanity. Mm-hmm. And then we can have just this crazy wrestling match. And the action in this movie is kind of like Looney Tunes, or it's kind of like pro wrestling.
It's
very
body
silly.
Slams Godzilla.
Yeah, there's lots of just wrestling moves. At some point, Godzilla picks up the little Kong and uses him as a weapon to hit up. So I was like laughing while all this was happening, and I found myself thinking like I like that we're in a time now where we can have the like good serious Godzilla movie, and then just this insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I really appreciated that about it, and I did not think too much about the Hollow Earth stuff, so I had a good time. But yeah, I think maybe also kind of worth saying that stuff you were talking about is like, it really is very cavalier toward the death of millions.
Sure, millions potentially, yeah.
Yeah,
it's happened
yeah,
a
yeah
lot in this world, so.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. And you know, and I think a smarter person than me could talk more about this, but I think there's some like icky old tropes with like the tribe of people who live in the yeah center of the earth. Those, yeah. That's some like yeah maybe some icky stuff left over from the original King Kong.
Yeah.
So you know, I can understand watching the movie and going like, eh, maybe we shouldn't have included this, or we should have thought more
sure
about this.
Sure.
But I think as far as like just pure go to the movies and see it in a theater fun, I really liked it. So I'm going to go with 3.5.
3.5. Mm, nice. Okay. Brandon?
I think I'm going to stick with it too on this one. Great. You know, I don't think it was any, like, any of the human scripting was any worse than, like, Godzilla versus Kong.
No.
I was just mainly mad that Kong never bit the Eiffel Tower after we were promised that that tooth could bite through the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Or also, the fact that he doesn't okay use a tooth at all.
It's, well, it's played as, like, a bit of, like, the Scar King goes, look at this punk with a fake tooth.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny, guys? Look at this
you
guy.
You wanted him to chomp down on Scar
King. Chekhov's yeah tooth.
And I even heard someone, as we were coming out of our full Dolby screening, lots of laughs. A lot of laughter.
Somebody going,
someone going like, tooth. I can't believe the tooth didn't come back. Somebody literally said it. We were all waiting for that.
Only in Burbank will you yeah hear yeah that kind of commentary. Movie nerds they living in Burbank.
Third act problems.
We're off yeah track and Chekhov's tooth, yeah man. Yeah. It didn't go off.
That's fair.
Someone in the chat asking, Jordan, what would happen if you were bad at Kmart? Oh. If you're good at Kmart, you get the Godzilla?
If I was bad, we yeah would get Regarding Henry.
Yeah, VHS. Yeah. Two Days with Maury, VHS. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Mom, I don't want
to. I put
I would get locked in a closet. I
remember putting a Millennium Falcon toy on layaway at Kmart.
Oh, yeah?
And my mom
oh
would take me every week, and I put a little bit of my allowance in to get it.
Whoa.
Eventually, I got it. Remember oh, yeah layaway, kids?
Dude. And you're responsible with money.
Not anymore.
Oh, okay. Once you got it.
Once I got it, baby.
It's gone.
All right, let's talk about some of the acting. We get okay returning cast members Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, and the young girl, Kaylee Hoddle.
Yeah.
Dan Stevens is Trapper, yeah, the vet. Fala Chen, who plays Shang-Chi's mom in Shang-Chi, is here as the leader or alleged leader of the Iwi people.
Alleged leader.
Yeah, we.
You don't believe she was elected fairly.
I don't know.
credentials here.
And then Alex Ferns from Andor as Mikhail.
Oh baby, yeah. I was so happy to see.
I was like, who's this guy? Why does he look so familiar?
Yeah. I was so annoyed too when.
Did you guys see Chernobyl too? He was in Chernobyl. He was awesome.
Really?
Oh, wow. A bunch of the Chernobyl cast that they filmed in England, I think, were also in Andor.
Oh, okay.
When you watch Andor, you're like,
same casting.
But I watched Chernobyl after Andor, so I was like, oh, there's a bunch of Andor actors in this amazing, horrifying drama. Yeah.
I was mad when they were like, when Mikhail's like, oh, we're gonna prep a team to go down there, in and yeah out. The team was just
it was them. Yeah.
And
yeah
then they were like, make another seat for this guy.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, there's another seat in our six-person craft, and
yeah
we had only five people sure for this team. They didn't bring anyone else
again
with guns.
You're thinking yeah too much.
They made it like a team. The whole, yeah, there's alarms going off everywhere. Like, we gotta go now. And it was like,
yeah, I kind of wish there had just been a separate ship
yeah
full of
yes
disposable
yes
actors.
Oh, that get killed exactly immediately. Instead, cool they gotta kill my guy with
give
a tree
him
monster.
Give him red shirts if yeah you need to. Yeah. Yeah. Let them all get taken out.
Because if little girl didn't push her way onto the boat, and if Brian Tyree Henry doesn't push his way on
yeah
the boat, it's just the three of them going.
Yeah. That's not a team.
That's not a team. To go check the outpost that they're not getting a radio signal from?
Yeah,
exactly. In a hollow earth that they've only mapped 5% of that's full of horrific monsters?
So the performance is pretty good, I think. The performance is across the board.
We love him.
But he did a great job. I mean, he was
yeah
great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With his little glasses, when he's like, yeah, I'm ready to dive down.
I think my weak point in this is probably the Dan Stevens character.
Yeah, as a character, yeah.
New character, but had like some history with the Rebecca Hall character. I didn't need them to bring back like Millie Bobby Brown,
no,
or Kyle Chandler yeah from Monarch, or any of the previous
Alexander
actors.
Alexander Skarsgård,
like,
did he die?
No, I think he lived to the okay end of the last one. So it's like, yeah, if they're not bringing him right back, I like some of the consistency. It's been an interesting thing throughout these movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still waiting for like a flashback that brings back Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson
right,
from
right
like the 70s and like they're at Monarch
yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know.
Maybe they were in the Hollow Earth the whole time. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe
like
you
they,
age slowly
there
down
you go,
there.
Because that's what the TV show revealed. That is correct.
Oh, does it?
Yes, yes,
correct.
Yes.
And it would be sweet.
The show established that awesome. When you go into the Hollow Earth, time is moving much slower there, and it moves at a normal speed.
Why do you think Kurt Russell looks so good? He's supposed to be 90 years old. That's why.
Wow.
So if you're down there for a while,
I gotta watch this show.
It's
no.
There's a great breakdown on New Rock Stars about the show.
I always think about how like they had Ken Watanabe in that first Godzilla film.
Season two.
He was in the second one, but then they killed him off in the second one. He had a pretty good death in King of the Monsters. He ends up sacrificing himself to sort of resurrect and save Godzilla. And there's this great moment, by the way, I want to say. I think Jessica mentioned it in the breakdown, but if not, in the script for Godzilla King of the Monsters, his character says, before he hits the bomb, goodbye, old friend, as he looks at Godzilla, as Godzilla's like dying.
Okay, yeah.
But during the table read, Ken Watanabe read that in Japanese. And the director was like, oh, I'm so dumb. Of course that should have been in Japanese. And so now he says it in Japanese in the movie, which is just like really cool moment. But I'm still also like, part of me is like, man, they should have had the Monarch show star Ken Watanabe.
Yeah.
They should have, you know, you should bring back these actors if you have these amazing actors.
Right.
So maybe the weak point for me with the Dan Stevens character is that he was maybe like a little too zany.
That fits the writing.
The Rebecca Hall character is more like the straight-laced character. Brian Tyree Henry was great, and they brought him back. So I guess I'm just complaining, like, cast could have been better, cooler, more people, more disposable, you know, guys.
It was a lot of people time, you know what I mean? And it's like, with all that people time, have some more fun with it. I don't know, the weird... like exposition of like Trapper and Rebecca Hall went to college together.
It doesn't go anywhere.
That leads nowhere. And you know.
So three out of five. It's fine. They're fine. Great. Fine. Cast.
Yeah, I think everybody knows what movie they're
in. Yes.
And Brian
Rebecca Hall plays it very seriously.
I
think she really does a great job because I think it's really easy to phone in that specific character.
With the emotion and everything.
And I think she brings just the right amount of emotion to it where you're just like, great, you're in it. Whatever you're doing, you're in it, you know?
You know, you like nag your stepdaughter into staying with you.
Yeah.
Like,
No.
You just would have probably stayed out here with all these cool people. She's like,
let's go up to the surface and have ice cream for breakfast.
Yeah, I guess you never want to use TikTok again.
I thought Rebecca Hall was great. And I did really like her relationship with the daughter. I thought it was very sweet. Yeah. And the fact that, like, anything in this movie could make me feel emotional. I'm feeling something.
And
I thought their relationship was very sweet and very well done. Yeah, Brian Tyree Henry's great. As someone who has a podcast, I think we should have more heroic podcasters in movies.
I agree.
We are the heroes.
And not just a kid named podcast in the Ghostbusters franchise.
I haven't seen those. That's bad, though.
Is there a Titan Truth podcast? Like, they should. Like, It should be the name of their show.
Yeah. More heroic. Heroic podcasters in movies. I did kind of like Dan Stevens' goofball character. I thought it was like fun.
As a Downton Abbey fan, it was great seeing him live on as Trapper and just have a great time playing the same song over and over again. We'll save that for the song.
I guess I kind of liked the acting maybe more than I realized I did. I'm gonna give it a 4.
Okay. I'll give the acting a 3.5.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty much right there. Okay, 3.5.
I don't know. It's tough acting on green screens and being like, okay, now you're spinning and the earth is spinning and you're spinning. I don't know. Yeah, they all had fun.
Yeah.
A good time. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Hey, before we get to the rest of it, we want to thank our sponsors today, one of which is Miracle Made. And I love the sheets they sent me. You've heard me on the show this whole week talking about it feels like sleeping in a hotel, and I sent Brandon my room service order, and all that is true.
It's true.
But they're really comfortable sheets, and your temperature has a huge impact on how well you sleep, and their sheets, Miracle Made sheets, use silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA. We make temperature-regulating bedding that lets you sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. These fabrics also prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. Bacteria can clog your pores, causing breakouts and acne, and nobody wants to sleep in that. With Miracle Made sheets, your sheets stay fresh and clean 3 times longer than other sheets. They're also luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands. It's like sleeping in a 5-star hotel. I would know.
Have you slept in a 5-star hotel?
I have, yeah. It is excellent. Pretty close to that, actually, from what I remember.
Okay.
So go to trymiracle.com/breakroom to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our code breakroom at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's back with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/breakroom and use the code breakroom to claim your free three-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/breakroom to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. I was like, was something weird in the grammar down there? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll never know.
No, that was a good read. That was a really good read.
Miracle Made.
Very good read.
We also want to take a quick second to shout out our sponsor, Kalshi. Kalshi is the first legal financial exchange in the U.S. where you can bet on any event. Any event. For us, we love to bet on Rotten Tomatoes. They're never wrong. Furiosa's new trailer is out right now. I don't know if you caught it. And that's fueling speculation on whether or not the Rotten Tomatoes score will be above 90 for this movie.
I say yes.
Can George Miller do it again?
Yes! The man can do anything.
We're getting yeses here. You can buy shares on yeses now before the movie even comes out. You can buy shares up to the point that Rotten Tomato score comes out. The prices will fluctuate. If you buy it at like a low price, you see the price goes up, you can sell ahead of the score coming out. So you can make a little moolah even if it doesn't hit that 90, but the price goes up. You just got to watch it. It's kind of like fantasy football.
Okay.
It's like you're a day trader. Okay, it's like you're in the boiler room, all right? You're Leo DiCaprio. You're on the phone in a strip mall, and you're like, I'm telling you, this is the best stock I've ever seen. I'm not going anywhere. I mixed two parts of the movie together. Is that okay?
Yeah, you did Wolf of Wall Street and Boiler Room, I think. Leo's not in Boiler Room. Put those numbers up.
Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel's there, giving a serious turn. I don't know. And maybe you don't want to bet in Rotten Tomatoes because you think it's a useless website that has skewed cinema in a bad direction. Maybe that's you. It's not me. Maybe that's you. You can bet on anything. You can bet on politics, music, climate, economics, tech, gaming, and more. You can sign up by going to kalshi.com/breakroom, and the first 500 traders will get a free $20 credit. Make some bets. Make some futures. Trade your future. Trade your future. Is that their call sign? They should take that motto.
Trade your future.
Sounds a little ominous, but okay.
Just the way I'm saying it.
Okay. And this is it. This is the last day that Jellybean Planet is sponsoring the show.
No.
So after this, you'll never see Jellybean Planet again on the break room until they decide to sponsor it.
Send letters. Don't send an email. Write a letter.
I'm gonna eat some now.
How could a letter get to a planet?
Put it in a can of gotcha and send it airmail to the moon. You know what I mean?
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. You know, we're sending a signal out constantly.
Maybe
you should email.
Anyone watch Three Body Problem? You get it.
I haven't started.
Easter is right around the corner. Literally, it's Sunday.
It's this coming Sunday. Today's Good Friday. Not so good for the man, but good for the rest of us.
Talking about Christ?
Yeah, I always thought it was weird they called it Good Friday. And this is like his worst Friday. Mm-hmm.
No, we're talking about Mothra is risen indeed, y'all.
Judas goes to the temple, he presses a button, some water trickles down, the stone gets rolled away. I mean, they rolled a stone into the lava to let Shimu out.
Oh, yeah. Also, what? Okay. I can't do it.
We're in the middle of an act.
Mothra is a Christ figure. And by jelly beans.
Yeah. The only thing better than Easter eggs are Easter eggs filled with jelly beans. You know the whole spiel. The jelly beans are great. Truly.
Are there GMOs in these jelly beans?
No, there aren't. I'm good.
How do they color it?
All natural colors.
Oh, okay.
This is great. I've eaten 9,000.
Is there gelatin?
I feel better.
There's no gelatin.
Is there palm oil?
No palm oil.
Oh my gosh, I gotta try some of these jelly beans.
And there's not even any gluten.
Ooh.
So use code 15NWROCKSTAR to get 15% off a 42.5-ounce jar of Jelly Bean Planet jelly beans today. You can use the link in the description. Or find them on Amazon.
Come back, Jelly Bean Planet.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jelly Bean Planet.
These are great beans. They're really good. I love these beans.
Yeah.
I'm rolling on these beans.
Can't get enough.
Don't say that.
If the beans are a little strong, just take half. See how you feel.
I usually do half a pomegranate.
Yeah.
Evan, were you about to ask a question about the lore of Christianity? Were you about to be like, this doesn't make any sense. How did Jesus... Are you overthinking it? Don't do that. Let me stop you right there.
I was doing
research on Invincible because of the character Black Samson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like in the Samson story, it's not clear in the Bible whether or not he grows his hair back to get his strength back. He's just there for a while, so it's assumed his hair grows back. Mm. But maybe his hair never grew back, and he just got strong through the power of God.
Can I say it's my favorite thing in the world when a new rock star's breakdown video whether it's Eric or Jessica or whatever, like, pivots to explain a reference to something and then goes and explains like religious, like religious lore. This is so funny to me when Eric Voss is like, oh, this is what this was. This was, and I'm like, this is crazy that this is happening for like an Invincible.
In episode 3 of X-Men, she says, I know, Madeline Pryor, the Goblin Queen says, I know not what I do. A reference to Jesus on the cross, Good Friday. Saying, forget them, Father, they know not what they do. They know not what they do.
Sometimes I do feel like I miss a lot of references in the world because I don't know anything about religion.
Oh, I don't know either, but I'm good with my understanding of religion. I
just go to newrockstars.com, Father Price, to get saved today.
Ooh, we should
get 50% off salvation. Free shipping.
Doing deep breakdowns of the Left Behind series with Kirk Cameron or something.
You can go
book
by book of the Bible.
Oh, we could go to the Bible book by book. This is from the Sumerians.
All the references to the previous.
This was stolen from the Egyptians.
This was NSFW. It's the Song of Solomon. And it's gonna get hot here on New Rock Stars.
Hey, let's talk about those visuals.
All right.
Listen, I felt this whole movie was really gooey. It's a lot of goo.
Ooh, pretty talk about goo.
Ripping the green goo. Ripping people up. Yeah. You know,
are all Titans green on the inside? Is that a thing?
Do you count lava as goo?
I guess for the sake of this, yes, but normally no. But there is, I mean, we've talked about like the gooey problem in CGI before. That's maybe not necessarily what I'm talking about, but there is just like, they're always ripping people
when Kong, Kong at the beginning rips that wolf in half and just bathes in the goo.
That was awesome.
And then instant regret where he's like, this was not worth it. I should have just died.
Mondays,
He does like the angry shower. He's like, I got green goo.
Yeah.
I thought I really wanted Kong to cook up that sea monster.
That'd have been
when
cool.
When he chopped it up, it looked, it looked very appetizing.
Yeah, I thought he was going to cook it a little bit.
No, but sushi's good.
Just ate it wrong, yeah.
Kaiju sushi.
Yeah, but you can't eat the guts. That's where he gets sick.
I do like the progression that Kong is now, like, setting traps and using weapons. I think that's very cool. But yeah, I thought it would lead to cooking. I thought he would have a little...
Because that was always my thing. Godzilla versus Kong. That when Kong makes it to the Hollow Earth and he realizes, like, oh, there was other Kongs.
Yeah.
And they built temples.
Yeah.
They built weapons. And, like, he realizes he's the dumb...
No, I think those things could have been built by little humans.
No, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because when they go down in there...
They had a thing where the light and the axe, it activated something. There's no way the Iwu tribe was building that.
Well, in the King of the Monsters, when they go into some of the Hollow Earth stuff as well, again, maybe like a top level layer of the Hollow Earth, Ken Watanabe and crew, Kyle Chandler and them, they go in there and like they're I'm trying to remember, what was the name of the actor from Get Out, the dad from Get Out?
Bradley Whitford.
He's like, this civilization, he's still alive, this civilization's older than, they list all of them, like Egyptian or Aztec or Maya or whatever, and then they see some kind of generic looking thing. So like, human beings are supposed to have been down there forever, maybe even came from there. They could have built the huge throne slash, okay, Kong, we got this this Godzilla
The stairway up the quartz thing, they really jumped the gun. She's like, I'm really worried about her. I'm like, you should be worried about her going up this stairwell.
This is so tiny.
Yeah.
And she's way up there.
Yeah. I mean, Ashley and Battle in the chat makes a good point that they can manipulate gravity, too. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
They could do a lot.
How the pyramids were built. No,
but I thought they're only manipulating gravity in their little space. Sure. They're not manipulating it throughout the...
I don't know, but it depends on how far that liquid stuff, you know, like how, what's the range on that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. What's this category? Cinematography?
This is the visuals.
Oh, visuals.
Visuals.
Yeah.
Okay.
One more, really quick, one more visual thing I wanted to say. I really liked, like, I think we can get into some of the monsters and the physicalities because so much of that is visual, I guess. But man, Mini Kong is a rat bastard.
He's a little stinker.
Wanted to say that earlier.
He's a little stinker.
I just wanted to make sure that happened.
Yeah. When Kong starts swinging him around, he's with a weapon. I'm like, is this a child or is it like a little
unclear? Let me
a little person it. Version of an ape.
There's like, a weird thing that leaked a few months ago or something of like the height of the Mini Kong is 100 feet.
Because he runs,
Kong.
Anytime they're in Hollow Earth, it's so confusing how big it is. It really ruins scale. This is like the Quantumania problem.
If that counts,
Because when he was running behind Kong, he would run past a tree and was as tall as the tree. I was like, okay, so this little guy is very big.
Yeah.
And Kong is very, very big. And they've obviously sized up Kong a ton than the original version so he could fight Godzilla.
To try to answer that question, in Skull Island, Kong was supposed to be around 100 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then they said in that movie, he's still growing. He's adolescent. So then by the time we get to they fight, they're around the same. They're like 300 feet tall. Oh, but now this little dude is also 100 feet tall. And I'm going, why is he this tall but looks like baby?
Right.
But Kong.
I think he's another species. Another species of ape.
Because he was orangish, right?
That makes sense.
Orange-y. Well, there's a shot, too.
There's a ton of them down there.
See, the movie makes perfect sense. Yeah,
there's a shot, too, before the Scar King leaves his area to go try to get to the portals where he gets the message. Where they kind of pan over, and he has almost like a harem, right? Yeah. There's some female
babes,
and I think a few of them had kids. And I took it to be he's one of
theirs.
Oh, this is his immortal Joe situation.
Yeah, he's red. Oh, but like the Scar King doesn't like love his kids. He's just banging apes, right? So he can have a good time. Other dude that got kicked in the lava, pretty brutal.
Yeah,
I know. That was like a father figure to this little guy.
Yes. Which was really sweet.
I didn't take it to be his father. Maybe I don't know.
I think they have a communal way of raising the kids.
Yeah. There's no dads. There's no moms. Everyone's fucking. Everyone's sucking, right? They don't know who the dads and moms are. Tight about it. They'll give them names.
This movie has a lot of fucking and sucking in it.
I really thought.
Four out of five.
I thought, because they established Shimu as a lady.
Yes.
They gender Shimu.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Godzilla is female male. Kaiju.
Yes.
I really thought they were going to hook up and have a baby.
That would have been nice.
And then I thought the post-credit scene would be an egg.
Yeah.
And but it's also, like, this is what's next.
Oh, it has ice powers and nuclear powers. Weird that there's no post-credit scene in this movie.
That, I should have said this in the script part. I don't think this movie does a good job of being like, okay, here's where we would like to go next.
It's
just kind of like, we're here now.
That's true.
And I will
Someone else's problem.
And we're going back to scripts here. I will say, I liked that about it.
Okay.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, something we chatted a little bit about when we were chatting about Dune, which I liked a lot and is a much better movie than this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something people talked about Dune like it was like the payoff for the first one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not really. There's a lot of setup for stuff that doesn't happen in Dune 2. Yeah. And while it is a great movie, and same with Spider-Verse too, another movie I loved. It's a great movie. Spiders, but also there was a like, come on, this isn't a full story. Mm-hmm. I did like how standalone this was.
Right.
And they bring in other characters from other things, but I kind of liked how it was one and done. And I was excited for a post-credits, but when we didn't have it, I'm like, you know what? This is okay.
Yeah, because it feels like their plan, at least as an outsider looking in, has been like they're making these movies all with the intention of like, okay, Godzilla versus Kong. Right? The end of King of the Monsters was like, we're teeing it up. They're going to fight. And they had a little post-credits thing of like, these two alpha titans are maybe going to...
Well, even King of the Monsters, right, kind of shot their load a little on like, here's Rodan, here's Ghidorah.
True. Because I think...
Behemoth, like they could have... Parsed all those out.
I think the deal was with like Toho being like, you get them all for one movie, so they're like, we have to. But anyway, at the end of Godzilla vs. Kong, the last one that came out in the pandemic, 2021, I also felt like I didn't know where they were going after.
Because I
don't think there's a clear direction.
I think they opened up Hollow Earth in that one, and it was like, Kong's in Hollow Earth now, and he's going to discover something down
there. There you go. So that is true about this. It's sort of like, is there going to be another film?
I guess the ending is this is the new empire. Kong is in charge of all these apes.
Sure. But
and he's going to give them freedom, and he's going to set up capitalism? I don't know.
Yeah, if the movie they're building to doing, I think their secret wars is destroy all monsters, right?
Okay.
Final wars, perhaps?
Something
where
like that.
Where it's like the humans are going to decide, we can't live with Godzilla anymore, we got to get rid of all the titans. And
so this is like How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
Yeah.
We're done.
Or maybe it's more mechs, more mechs.
We're out of old... landmarks. They've destroyed everything.
Yes. I know.
We need to start from scratch.
Recognizable landmarks.
I think what we're saying, it relates to Basil and the Barrel Spinner in the chest, is I feel like that the Monster versus Strength, unlike the MCU, doesn't lock itself into a specific path, right?
Sure.
The fact that we can talk about this, it feels so flexible. There's any, they could go in.
They can keep going deeper in Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
What's below subterranean?
So I don't know. It's Hollow Earth.
Frankly, I don't think the MCU is locked into something right now.
Right now.
I also would argue that's kind of one of their weaknesses right now. When the MCU was really firing on all cylinders is because they were like, we're moving towards Thanos.
Yeah.
Right now, I guess they were moving towards Kang, but now maybe not. So, anyway, to go back to the visuals on this, there are some shots that look fantastic.
What's your favorite? Yeah, what are your favorite shots from this movie?
I think they spent more time on Kong. Great facial expressions, the animation, just some really great moments and some great, when they're
I liked the pyramid fight. It was fun.
Like, Mothra shows up, that shit looks dope.
Yeah,
it's cool. Dope. But I think that we've also mentioned a couple times now issues with like the scale. Sure. Mm. Going back to the Gareth Edwards Godzilla, which nailed the scale. Yeah. I missed some of that. But I know that the old Toho 70s movies had a lot of perspective up here. Eye level for the kaiju. Really silly, really goofy daytime stuff that I think is, can be really fun, but it's tricky to try and do that and still have like, this is the real world type of a, you know, versus like a fully animated or something movie. I'm going to give the visuals on this 2 because there were some great shots, but there were also some shots where it's like, I'm having issues with the scale. It felt like, I don't want to say unfinished, but it felt like stuff, some shots with Scar King and all that. Just there's so much happening that it was like, it's not blowing me away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is exaggerated and kind of hyper-realistic, and it's in an exaggerated kind of cartoony world, but that's where I'm at.
There was a lot of spinning. A lot of spinning in this movie. I got dizzy. At one point, I was like, this is a lot of spinning. I also thought, like, that last fight, which they kind of show a lot of in the trailer, was, like, visually confusing. It was fun to have scale there, because it was like, these are buildings, and these are people.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, it was all over the place, kind of. And again, I don't think anything lived up to the battleship fight in Godzilla vs. Kong, which was so good and paced well.
Yes.
This was, like, insanely paced.
Sure.
I did really like the shot where the four of them come out of Hollow Earth and the ocean freezes and it's spinning.
Yeah.
But they're flipping over each other and they're all falling in weird places. Like, that was fun. Godzilla looked great. Love pink Godzilla.
Me too.
But again, I wish they had kind of, I mean, it was part of the marketing, but it would have been a fun reveal that, like, oh, he's pink now. Like, that would have been fun. And, like, the glove they showed.
If, powerhouse,
like,
right?
If the powerhouse program.
I love the glove. If they didn't show the glove in the trailer and he gets the glove in the movie,
we would have been like,
or if he gets the glove, right? He's losing and they're like, powerhouse stage 2, and they drop another glove and a helmet piece with wings, and he's flying.
Now I hate the movie. I wish that happened.
He goes powering.
I don't like the movie anymore.
I would love that. Did they play the music? Because that was that's the name of the old Looney Tunes song, Powerhouse, right? Dun 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 dun
dun. Factory song. Yeah, that whenever there's a conveyor belt.
They played that one song all the time. I mean, that's the lesson they learned from Kong Skull Island, right? Is like the old timey
the '70s
music.
They learned that lesson from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, yeah.
And by they, I mean every fucking movie in Hollywood is pulling that lesson from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think they need to sue that Borderlands trailer. Jesus Christ, James Gunn should be getting $20,000.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what happened to Suicide Squad, right? Made that trailer with Queen.
What you guys are saying is that this movie works best showing it to a kid who hasn't seen any trailers.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be mind-blowing thing after mind-blowing thing.
Yes, 100%.
I'm trying to remember back to, like, Avengers Age of Ultron 2015. Did they show the Hulkbuster in the trailer? Like,
no.
Iron Man fighting Hulk?
I don't think so.
Similar-ish, like, you know, when he's calling that down and he armors up to the Hulkbuster fights the Hulk, it's cool as shit.
And that's in Act 2.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, the finale
of that movie.
Yeah.
And I think that is maybe a big part of why I think we can all agree Avengers Endgame was one of the most fun things to see in the theaters, because you didn't see shit going on.
Yeah,
the movie.
For sure.
And
for
I think obviously, because the movie is very good and the culmination of all these great Marvel movies that we love, but also
those,
like,
moments they held.
Yeah,
the
it's a shame.
I don't like when trailers show Act 3 stuff.
Or just those big reveal. It's true.
I mean, the big reveal here was Mothra, right?
Like,
that was the big surprise.
And Mothra looked good. Great.
Yeah, Mothra.
But I was also confused, too, because Mothra was a post-credit in Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
That Mothra, there was a larva still alive underneath the earth?
No, that was a King Ghidorah head.
I thought
that was the post-credit.
What was the post-credit that there was a Mothra still alive?
I don't know
like
if
that.
There was.
I think maybe we saw a dossier with a Mothra in one of the movies.
If we go back to that Jessica breakdown, it may have been that.
I know.
Because I think that there was a hint that she
was
pregnant.
Well, there's a hint in the first.
A suspected second Mothra egg has been discovered in the ending credits of King of the Monsters.
Because Mothra sacrifices herself.
Right, so they're like,
to save Godzilla. And they find like a sack. But that's not in Hollow Earth, I don't think.
No, I think it was.
So somehow Mothra got from this. Somehow Mothra returned.
Yeah,
somehow.
Nice.
Yes.
She got from the Earth down to the Hollow Earth. That wasn't the Hollow Earth. I don't know. I need a map. I need a better map.
You need a 7-year-old to explain this to you.
I do.
Because
there was a shot. I do think it was very smart for, like, Rebecca Hall during her presentation to be like, here's kind of a map, and you kind of get like a little map with little tunnels and stuff.
Yeah, gateways. Yeah.
And for her to say, like, we've only mapped 5%, great.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Yep.
That opens up
yep.
the universe for you.
Yep.
Because maybe the next movie is solely in Hollow Earth. I don't know.
And silent, like we were saying. That's the really brave sequel.
Yeah.
I'll rank it. I'll say some nice things about the visuals.
Yes.
I think, a not nice thing is that, like, it never seems like the humans and the monsters are in the same movie. It does seem like two movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming off of Dune, which was so gorgeous, and, you know, Avatar, Way of Water. I mean, the people in the CGI in that movie seem to be in the same movie.
Yeah.
And this does seem like a movie about people and then an animated movie about monsters that somehow got mashed up in the editing room.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that something I really liked about it is I think the fight choreography is great. I love the wrestling moves.
Yeah.
I did like all the anti-gravity stuff. I thought it was cool. I like how they ride each other. I think that's a lot of fun. And I think that in the MonsterVerse, a strength that it has is great designs.
Yes.
I think the designs of the monsters are all neat.
Yeah.
They seem like they are unique to this movie as opposed to just like generic monsters that you can pull out of any sci-fi movie. I think they have these monsters have a great visual style.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why we still remember Godzilla and Kong all these years later is because they're memorable designs. And I love that about this movie.
I like Tiamat. Tiamat was very cool.
Yes, we stand
I wanted to see
King.
Better.
And the big
I like how the fins
rolled.
Wrapped around.
Yeah, the crab thing was good.
The crab thing spitting
web.
And like Tiamat wrapping its fins around like Godzilla's face, I really loved.
Yeah.
Shimu was cool. I just didn't like the turtle face on Shimu. It made it look like an old lady.
It's okay. The thing I keep seeing, because I follow like concept artists and like nerds on Instagram, so it keeps popping up in my feed, is like people keep posting the sort of scale chart for these kaiju.
Yeah, yeah.
And Shimu is so effing huge that it's like the biggest kaiju in the MonsterVerse franchise up to this point. And I'm just like, man, it would have been great to feel a little bit of that.
Because it's always on fours. It's hard to tell.
Exactly. But,
I'll give the visuals a 2.5.
Yeah,
four for me.
Four.
3.5. I really liked all the physicality of the apes. I think you actually get a lot of the story across about having... having
I like the little knife too.
Yeah, little knife's great. Mini Kong being like, I'm gonna be bad. It's like truly like that kind of like henchman turned good guy, but he's like,
The whole Mini Kong thing felt like somebody pitched a director, a studio person was like, what if we could find a way to Baby Yoda this?
Yes.
And Adam Wingard was like, no, that's dumb. And then someone went, well, what if he's a little asshole?
Yes.
And they were like, okay.
They didn't reveal on the trailer that he's a little asshole.
He's a little stinker.
Kind of evil.
What were all the apes doing in the pit?
Stop.
They're just moving rocks around.
You have to.
Scar King's like, Scar I just King's need busy like, work for that.
Guys, today we're going to move all those rocks. Too many rocks over here, they need to be over there. You guys, you're on rock duty for the lava curtain. One of these days, I'm going to need it open.
I'll be lounging on my throne.
Yeah.
I got
some ladies in the back, and then we'll get to the fucking and sucking.
What I like about every single, like, they're all valid criticisms. Evan's overthinking it. It's all valid. What I like about all this stuff is that, for me, it still doesn't take away from the sort of enjoyment of this movie and what the franchise is trying to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is also like, man, there is a potential to, like, what if another director came in, or if Adam Wingard wants to keep going, did a next movie, and someone was like, I'm going to try to bring it back to that Gareth Edwards tone.
Yeah.
Is there room for various tones in this franchise?
I would love that.
It would be cool, because I know there's room for various tones in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and in Star Wars and whatever, but I don't know if where the MonsterVerse can kind of go, but it would be sick if someone came in and as a storyteller were like, I'm going to really get in depth as to what is happening with this Kong society.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with the
new empire?
What are the rules of the gravitational? Is all the Hollow Earth? We're going to map it out. Like, I would love for somebody to come in and do like heavy lore and make and pull a really compelling story out of that. Because Legendary, they do have a lore master. They do have like one guy who's like
trying
to.
And he is doing cocaine. And she hasn't slept in 5 days.
It's just like, woo, Tiamat. Like,
they're going to ride each other.
He sleeps in the Colosseum.
There's portals in the Hollow Earth, but there's other Earths inside it.
I'm fascinated to know what the decisions are. I'm fascinated to know if these are like executive notes or if they are like, if they really are, like, you guys remember those, it was like a viral video for, I think it was like The Onion. They did like a fake TV channel, and they're like, we're talking to the screenwriter, Chris Morgan, of Fast Five.
Oh, yeah.
And they cut to like a 6-year-old, and he's like, cars go broom. Like,
so good.
It's a sick, great video. But I wonder if there's like, are they like, like testing with kid groups? Are they trying to figure out like what do you guys like about stuff? Are they, because I know Adam Wingard and whoever else had said before this came out and even before Thanos in Endgame and Infinity War, because the MonsterVerse is now going back to 2014. That they had jokingly said it'd be so cool if Khan could get like a glove or something like years ago.
Right.
And it's kind of evolved into this point. So I don't know if they're still thinking about stuff that's going to pop in years from now. I don't know what the lore is. I don't know if someone's trying to maintain serious stuff and other people are coming in and they're like, this needs to be zany. I don't know if it's the directors, the writers, but there's potential. I'd love to see people come in and try to take some of these concepts seriously
It was almost like a throwaway line, I think, that Rebecca Hall says, where it's like, we got to do a good job or they're going to bring in private companies again.
Yes.
Because Apex is dead now, right? The events of Godzilla versus Kong, like Apex Industries is
and
done.
Mechagodzilla.
Because they made the Mechagodzilla and all that, which is weird because Monarch does a big job of really setting up Apex again.
Yeah.
They didn't talk to each other on this. I think that's like the next step, right? Like private companies get involved again and you have like, you know, a Richard Branson type taking private tours down to Hollow Earth. And it's like, we need to get the pharmaceutical industry down there and all that kind of stuff.
A little Jurassic Park down
there. Yeah, privatize like the Hollow Earth, right? That's the new, you know,
kind of like could Pacific Rim.
Yeah, could you play refugees down there? Like if they're looking for like, you know, people who are displaced through conflict or war or something like that, do they go to live in the Hollow Earth?
Yeah.
Are the Iwi like, get the fuck out of here?
Yeah.
I mean, Trapper has a great line that's like, don't talk about this place. This place is magic, man.
Yeah, you gotta keep it.
It's just gotta love down here, man. Yeah. All these apes are fucking and sucking each other. They don't know who the parents are, or baby Khan. No one knows who his daddy is.
Burning Man, 24/7, baby.
He reluctantly was like, I won't put it on my podcast then. And which is that a stupid choice? I don't know.
It's a bad choice. He has unique access to
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, do not. It's wild that guy is not involved in Monarch at this point.
Yeah,
like after what happened,
they didn't go back.
He has a good point that like, why am I left out of all this?
Yeah.
Okay. For the sake of time, sorry, we have to wrap.
You can talk on 2 out of 5 overall.
just to quickly go through some of the directing and sound. I feel like a lot of the conversation we've had, kept going back and touching on some of the directing and stuff
It's hard not to.
I do think, as far as what you're talking about with tone, though, I do think that this. I think he knows what movie he's making, at the very least, right? And it's like a big battle, you know, all out, like, just romp, right? Did I like this better than Godzilla versus Kong? I'm not sure. I gotta think about that.
I didn't, but I do want to mention to everybody watching right now at home who's probably asking themselves, but did Hector see this in 3D? Answer no. I'm gonna rewatch this. Gotta go see it in 3D. That might bump up the score. Bump up the score. Godzilla vs. Kong is a sick 3D movie. It's really good. And I still like that more. But if we're doing directing, it kind of fits into the cinematography, the visuals, the choices made.
Yeah, all the choices.
I'm still gonna... I'll say directing 3. I think Adam Wingard did a great job. Like, it's for, you know, what the movie is.
I walked out thinking, like, what do I want out of these movies, right? Can they keep doing City Gets Destroyed? They have to keep finding a way to change it. Like, not easy to direct one of these movies, I imagine, with most of it CG. You get some time with some actors. Mm-hmm. You're trying to make it, like, as internationally acceptable as possible so they can play across the world.
Yeah,
I would give the directing a 3 in this. I think,
it
had big fights. It had some fun moments. There was a little bit of emotion Rebecca Hall and her daughter. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll give them a 3 for that. I don't know how you make one of these movies at this point.
How do you? I'll continue my standing and bump it up to a 4. I think it had a nice vision and it did what it wanted to do.
A 3.5.
Nice.
Ooh, there he goes.
Right in the middle.
What's the next category? Music?
The last one, sound and score. Junkie XL, Tom Hulkenberg, and Antonio DiOrio. I don't remember much of the music from this, I'll be honest.
And they're hamstringed, right? Because they can't do the Godzilla
theme.
That's a Toho thing, isn't it?
I don't remember. Because it certainly showed... Bear McCreary did it as the composer for the previous movies, for sure.
Because I think there might have been like a slight... sting of it, but it maybe at one point
I don't know what the theme song of this movie would be. You're like right. the score, because Kong had given like 70s Elvis pastiche to, right? Like he's kind of like, that's his score. They always give him a little 70s song at the beginning. There was that song Trapper played all the time, which I don't really know what it was.
The theme of it seemed to be disco, And yeah, I guess my justification in my head was like, I guess this is what Trapper listens to in his plane.
Yeah.
He's
a dentist, he can fly that thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully the glove does its stuff on its own.
The glove, yeah, the glove knows just what to do.
They're
like, we're going to get him a glove. Boop, boop. Yeah, it's so
when my wife was like, but his hand is still injured, and he goes, we're injecting the healing fluid. And it was like,
oh yeah.
That's all that problem right there.
Why did it happen?
It heals everything.
Yeah. You know, the music was a two. I don't know.
But the sounds, right? All
the sounds great. Yeah. Songs
still by the battle. Oh, you're right. Right? Like the.
I'll bump it up to 3.5 because it was loud and I liked that.
I'll go 3. Monsters sound cool.
Monsters do sound
Godzilla's charging up always sounds cool.
Yeah. Oh, really?
His roars looking sound great. I wanted more Godzilla this movie.
Oh, we haven't really talked about that.
Yeah, it's mostly a Kong.
It's a Kong movie.
Yeah, it's really a Kong movie. Yeah.
I think they've kind of established that like Godzilla has no emotions. Godzilla doesn't care about people. He's purely driven by protecting the Earth. So like, I guess because he doesn't have emotional range, they're like, we don't have much to do with this character. Sure. But I'm into Godzilla, baby.
I know. I think for the next film, if they do another one, I think that it would behoove them to focus more on, can we have the Godzilla character? If it's not a character who can go through an arc, per se, can we give more for Godzilla to do? Mm-hmm. I'm reminded, again, don't want to compare to Godzilla Minus One, completely different film.
Yeah.
But I'm reminded about, like, in Godzilla King of the Monsters, that he had a few moments with, like, Kyle Chandler. Yeah. Or the Ken Watanabe character.
Even
like,
in the first Godzilla, he has moments like looking. Yes. And in Monarch, he like imprints with the daughter.
Yes, so you can have some of that. Yeah. And I think Godzilla can be more present in some of the moments. Although, best part of the movie is him curling up like a cat. It was so cute. It's super cute.
Jumping off the rock of Gibraltar.
Dude, I almost thought they were going to cut to someone just holding up a 10. Like, I really thought they
were going to do it. How deep is it
That's the Zucker Brothers Godzilla movie. Yeah.
Or like Jimmy Buffett, RIP on a boat, being like, whoa!
Not again!
Let me get my margaritas out of here.
I just got away from Jurassic World!
Why does this keep happening to me?
You said 3.5 for sound, music, right? Yeah. 3, what were you at?
Yeah, I'll go 4. I liked all the monster noises and I thought the needle drops were kind of cool. Great. They didn't make sense.
3.5.
Great. Yeah,
3.5 guy over here. Before we get the final number, people in the chat have been, after you were talking about tone and you know where they can go, some people have been saying MonsterVerse rom-com movie. What would your MonsterVerse rom-com titles be?
No, be serious, people. I want to take this seriously.
It's a MonsterVerse like road trip movie where you're like you got to get from New York to L.A. over the weekend, but a Titan is also like on your tail. Listen, he's not chasing you. He just happens to be going that direction.
I don't hate that because
these are all good ideas.
Mixed feelings on the film Cloverfield.
Right.
But I kind of bought that their motive. Thank you very much, Dash. I kind of bought that like one of the like story arcs, the motivation in Cloverfield is like, I'm trying to get to this woman that I love, a person that we love each other across this destroyed city. So yeah, maybe non-jokingly to take the next film, maybe don't bring back Brian Tyree Henry or Rebecca Hall or Dan Stevens or any of these characters, new characters, maybe a Kyle Chandler cameo, some Monarch presence, something, but like maybe it can be about two characters that are trying to be together in, and then some stuff happens and they're somehow connected to or involved with Godzilla or Kong.
I mean, bring back, let's get, what's her face?
Yes.
Let's get Austin. Taylor Johnson
and Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen.
No, I'll say pass on that.
Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen. Let's bring them back.
No. Well,
they got a kid who's grown up now.
Yeah.
Maybe
14?
Yeah. No, older than that because it was 2014, so it's 10 years.
How old was they? They were supposed to be like 25 years old and they had like a 7-year-old kid, right?
Well, it happens, buddy.
It happens.
I'd like to introduce you to a few of my cousins.
All right. Final number here is a 63.5. Interesting. That's not what I would walk away saying the movie was. I would say it was higher, but
you think higher? I think that's pretty fair.
It's interesting when we do this. Interesting.
I feel like I've been on a lot of these where the movies were really great and we gave super high scores.
Yeah.
This felt nice.
Can we get it? Can we get it at like average? Because we're all doing 1 out of 5s, right?
Yeah.
What's the average out of 5?
If a 6.
It's a lot of math.
6 out of 100 or 60 out of 100, what is that? 1 out of 5?
No, you know, as
2.5, something like
as the one given at the high scores, I think this is a really good, fair score. I think some people will love this.
Okay.
I think that maybe not everybody's cup of tea, but I think if you're in the mood for something really silly and crazy, it'll do you right.
No one's expecting this to be Dune Part 2, right? Like, yeah, this is trying to be what it is.
This is nowhere near a movie that I think, for example, I was way more invested in, and it was expecting more to kind of journey forth, something like The Flash, which was like a big disappointment for me last year. I don't think this comes anywhere near close to being like a big disappointment. That's what we're saying about the MonsterVerse. Like, I like it. I love it. Let's keep it going. Most of it might not be for me, but I'm happy it's there.
We want more monsters.
Yeah,
more less people.
Absolutely.
Unless it's a rom-com of them driving across the U.S.
Yeah. Hey, make it happen.
And a delightful Sydney Sweeney is involved.
We got to get Sydney Sweeney in a MonsterVerse movie.
Yeah.
And Boyd Holbrook. Let's go, boys.
Let's go, boy.
Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy. Boy.
Boy. Would be great.
All right. That's it for us today. Does anyone have anything to plug before we sign off?
I'll do a little plug ski, right? It's that thing I always plug. Hey, I got a graphic novel coming out later this year. It's called Youth Group. It is a YA horror comedy about a bunch of goofy teenage exorcists. And it is available for pre-order now. Our brother, great Bowen McGurdy, whose work may be recognized from Marvel Comics.
Perfect.
bit.ly/youthgroupbook. You can check out the cover, get some pre-order links. And I hope you like it and buy it, please. Or request it at your local library.
Nice.
That's it.
Be sure to check out Hector's interview with Adam Wingard.
Yeah.
Director of Godzilla, Godzilla Kong, The New Empire.
Thank you.
Or GXKTNE.
Thank you.
You can find that on the Nerdist channel, right?
On YouTube. It's great. For them.
Check those out.
That. Yeah, it was fun.
Nice.
Nice All people.
Right. Hey, and follow Break Room on YouTube.
Wow, you sound so enthusiastic.
And as we say at the end of every episode,
what do we say at the end of the episode?
I don't know.
I was thinking
something was going to come to me, and it really did not happen.
We say, these apes are fucking and sucking.
Yeah. All right, see you later.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You can find us at Break Room NR on Instagram and X. Thanks for listening. Later, Gators.